Will you pray with me? Lord, you are so good. And I'm so thankful for the ways that you have pursued me all these years. I pray, Lord, that I would communicate well. Lord, calm my anxious heart right now. I pray that your love and grace would shine through this story. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hi, my name is Laura, and I have a new life in Christ. I am recovering from control, unbelief, and anger. Hi. Through my childhood, I never understood what a relationship with Jesus meant or how it could change my life. As the daughter of an emotionally absent and mentally ill father, and the victim of childhood abuse, my teenage years consisted of trying to fill the void in my life with boys and alcohol. As I entered adulthood and gladly left my home of 18 years, I was certain I did not need God. At age 27, after many long years of bad choices, I reached rock bottom and found myself on my knees in a hotel room, far from home, crying out to the Lord that if he was real, I wanted him to save me from this life of misery that I had created. A new believer and newly married to my husband, Eric, my late 20s and 30s included recovery of every kind. The Lord graciously and compassionately met me in my hard places and brought about new life. Psalm 103, verse 8 says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger. He's abounding in loving kindness." I considered myself the poster child for all of the different recovery ministries here at Watermark. I worked through the pain of my abortion in Someone Cares, the hurt of sexual abuse in Shelter from the Storm, and I did my best to repair the wake of destruction that my hurt and anger had created through the 12 steps of regen. God brought about so much change in my early years walking with him. I had freedom from guilt and shame like I had never experienced. My marriage transformed as I learned to deal with my guilt, process my anger, and not hold grudges. While the Lord allowed some very hard circumstances during this time, I was learning to lean into him and the community of believers for support. The hard stuff brought me closer to him. I determined I was ready to close the recovery chapter of my life and move on. Fast forward 10 years. As a homeschooling mom of four children, my life felt out of control and full of pressure. Parenting four very different children, all with very different sets of needs, I found myself determined to control the chaos that was swirling around me. Each of them needed me in ways that stretched me beyond what I could provide. Long days at home began to be filled with angry outbursts. Trying to ease the pain, I would secretly sneak away into the garage or my laundry room and close the door for a few moments of peace. I grew increasingly bitter towards God regarding hard circumstances in the lives of my children that he had allowed. Consistently faced with the sadness of my physically disabled son, I was frequently anxious and upset. I often collapsed into bed each night and wept tears of anger and shame over my behavior. I tried to control everyone and everything. I spent more time shaking my fists at God than asking him to help me. I could not will myself to believe that he was good and that he wanted good things for me or my family. At times, I would become angry and yell to the point of tears. Who is this person I had become? Several times, my husband and I considered the idea of coming back to regen. It seemed like it would never fit into my schedule. A busy carpooling mom, I spend many long afternoons and evenings driving my kids all around Dallas. How could I possibly set aside an entire night every week for myself? In March of this year, after a particularly bad day that included an outburst towards my youngest that left us both a sobbing mess, the Lord showed me that regen was my next step. Something had to change. And God was going to use regen to start the process. I knew I was not the mom I wanted them all to remember. I was an angry, yelling, controlling mess, and I was desperate for change. In an entirely different way than in that hotel room in my 20s, I had reached rock bottom again. But this time, there were no inappropriate relationships or alcohol to blame, no abortion to deal with, just my sin nature, my flesh, that was ruling my everyday and bringing destruction in my home. Romans 8, 6 through 8 says, "For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Returning to Regen this past spring, I assumed that because I had already completed the 12 steps, that working the 12 steps this time would be easier. As my prideful flesh was sure that I didn't really need to be here again. The Lord orchestrated a group of women that I was to lead. As we worked through step 3, my lack of trust in the Lord and my seeming inability to believe that he was good became apparent. Step 4 brought about deep sadness as I listed out my spiritual inventory. Nothing was more painful than writing the names of my children and Eric in the harmed column of harms by me, listing out the episodes of anger and control that had hurt each of them. I doubted God as I wrote all that out. As I faced the depth of my sin, I doubted that he would be able to do anything with me. I felt hopeless. I was a mess, and I didn't see how he possibly could bring life out of this. I questioned God, and I questioned the point of the inventory process, but he continued to pursue me, and he kept me going. Philippians 4, 1, 6 says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." As I worked the steps, at times, I felt angry at the process of Regen and wondered why in the world I had come back to this place and why was I leading a group of women in this process. Ironically, leading a group was the reason I kept coming to Regen. I felt like I was on the hook, and I didn't want to let the women or my co-leader down. Now I look back, and I know that the Lord used that leadership to create good boundaries for me, to keep me here, because he knew I would be tempted to leave. I'm so thankful for the women that he surrounded me with. After confessing my inventory in step 5, I began to feel some freedom. I felt some of the weight lift off of me. As I wrote my repentance plans in step 6, I saw the way out of the mess I was in. I saw the truth of God's love shining into my mess and paving a way out of it. There was another way, and I began to feel hope. I began to act differently in situations that had previously brought out my worst. I found myself taking a deep breath and praying before speaking. I found that if I rehearsed scripture and truth, things I know to be true about God, it helped me see my circumstances through a different lens. I found that if I asked God to come with me into the hard circumstances of the day, that I could be present and I could embrace the hard rather than looking for ways to avoid it. On several occasions, through tears and a smile, I looked at Eric and I dared to hope, what if God is really changing me? What if I don't have to be that person I was for the rest of my life? I began to believe that even in the hard circumstances, God is good. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8, 28. I would tell you about my life after recovery, but the truth is I am not there yet. And I'm more convinced than ever that I won't be this side of heaven. I plan to be in recovery for the rest of my life. I don't know if that will be here at Regen or somewhere else. Perhaps it will just look like working the steps in the company of my community group. Maybe it will look like teaching my children or a friend how to work the steps. Recovery for me looks like learning to abide daily with Jesus and walk with him in the midst of my painful realities. My circumstances have not changed since I've come to Regen, but the lens through which I see them has. I choose to give God control each day, acknowledging his presence, and that only he can provide comfort. If I choose to trust him in all things, it starts to feel safe to let go of control. I am still learning to allow him to fill me up daily so that I might be present in the midst of hard circumstances, able to embrace my children and others in their differences and in their emotions, even when it makes me feel out of control. Through listening to the story of God's grace in my life tonight, I hope you will take away that recovery is a lifelong process of imperfect, small steps. It is not something we graduate from, not something that we accomplish and move on. It is a constant process. You are here in 2018. Don't be surprised or disappointed if and when God brings you back. I am so thankful to be back for Regen Take Two. Hi, my name is Laura, and I have a new life in Christ. I'm recovering from control, unbelief, and anger. I praise Jesus for all that he has done and trust him that he will continue to transform me into his likeness. Thanks for letting me share his story of grace in my life.